Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Paul Nolte is Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Silvest. Paul, good morning. Most of the financial headlines today include the line, markets feel tariff tensions. Are you feeling it?
A little bit, but it's not about trade. And that's the interesting part of this, is the longer you have a chance to look at this, it's about tariffs. And it seems to be rather capricious and not on any type of schedule. And that, I think, is what's got the markets a little nervous. We saw a little bit of a decline yesterday. We've postponed some tariffs until August 1st. They're still in negotiating with a lot of other countries. We've seen a few deals come through, but they're not trade deals. They're about instituting tariffs on certain products, certain goods and services going between countries. And I think that's really the biggest concern for the markets, is that it's still very much the Wild West when it comes to these tariffs.
As you point out in your newsletter, some Japanese auto companies are eating the tariff increase so they can keep prices steady. I wonder if more companies will do that.
We'll see. We're going to see it in a variety of ways. We're going to see some companies pass along a portion of it, maybe all of it. It depends, too, on what the companies feel like they're going to be able to do themselves. Are they interested in market share? Are they interested in continuing to develop the markets that they're in? Or do they feel that they have somewhat monopolistic pricing and they can get away with, you know, whatever it needs to be? So that's part of the reason why we're not seeing the inflation numbers come through like the Fed has been expecting. Everybody's still looking for it, but we so far have not seen it show up yet in the numbers.
And as far as the Fed is concerned, we're going to hear the minutes of their last meeting, and everybody is pretty much predicting, well, what? They're going to remain unchanged, the rates?
Yeah, I mean, certainly they've made the decision to keep rates unchanged. What's interesting about the minutes is you get to see some of the dialogue going back and forth, which members are sitting on the fence, which members think maybe a rate cut should be coming sooner than later, which ones think, you know, we're not really interested in cutting rates anytime this year. So it gives you at least a little flavor for what each of the governors are doing and how they arrived at the decision that they arrived at. What's always interesting to me is they vote unanimously, and it's been a unanimous decision now for years. But as soon as all the Fed governors come out and start yakking on TV and in the media, you have a wide variety of opinions. So that's where the minutes are always kind of interesting. You get a little bit of inside baseball on it, but it's not changing, I don't think, anybody's view that the Fed is not going to be cutting rates at the end of July. First possible chance would be September.
As far as the employment situation is concerned, the numbers are pretty good, aren't they?
The numbers have been fine. We've maintained all along that the employment situation is decent. Now, when you look into the numbers, there was some interesting stuff that went on with the last report. We saw education hiring very high, which is unusual since school's out. We also saw state and local governments pick a lot of employees, which, again, is very unusual because many of their fiscal years end during the summertime, and they're not ready to hire. They usually don't hire until the fall. So there's a couple oddball numbers in this report, but overall, we've seen a trend of, as we talked last week, 135,000 new jobs. That's not a bad number on a consistent basis, and that'll keep the unemployment rate at 4.1, 4.2, which is historically very low levels, and argues for a Fed that should be sitting on the sidelines.
And as far as stocks are concerned, July is usually a good month, isn't it, historically?
And that's what's surprising is, you know, we've all heard about sell in May and go away run to the beach and forget about things until September. But July over the last 10 years has not had a down month. And July over the last 10 years is the second best month outside of December. And even going back 20, 25 years, it's one of the top 3-4 months of the year. So strictly from a seasonal perspective, July has actually turned out to be a decent month for stocks. And so far, we're off to an okay start. And historically, that's what we'll see is a good start to the month and then kind of a flattish finish for the last half of the month.
Paul Nolte, Murphy and Sylvest, I don't know if you sold in May, but I'll let you go away to the beach, I hope. Have a good one, Paul.
Heading to Dallas. I will chat with you then.
Enjoy. Thank you.